Welcome to The Conversation. It is Wednesday, the 8th of March, 2017, 1 o'clock. It's International Women's Day. Listen, enjoy, and let the magic begin.
Channel Radio.
Welcome to The Conversation. How are you? It's a very exciting day today. It is International Women's Day. I'm so excited, so excited. My name is Sarah Ann Lucas. All my friends and family call me Bird, and I would love you to do the same. I'm a mama to three extraordinary little big people, a businesswoman, author, writer, international speaker, and an Ironman. And here on The Conversation, it comes to you with a wondrous curiosity, an authentic interest into the most inspiring people. And each week, we bring you the most extraordinary people supporting you to shine bright today, especially on this most beautiful, beautiful day. And today, I am so excited. I have with me on The Conversation, Tony J. Salimi. Welcome.
Thank you, Sarah. It's great to be here today.
Isn't it? I can't wait. I can't wait. So Tony is a human behavior expert dedicated to helping 6 to 9-figure business owners achieve quantum leaps. Award-winning author of A Path to Wisdom and Hashtag Loneliness. Can I just say, he's brought me in not only flowers, but also gifts of the two bits. I always say, Tony, gifts and flowers. You've got always got to do gifts and flowers, Tolda, haven't you? Tony assists his clients to find solutions to their businesses, to their business problems, and also answers their life greatest obstacles. I love this. He helps them clarify their values, teach the tools to cope better with their daily pressures, demands, and the noise so that they increase their productivity, longevity, heal emotional and physical pains. That is so important. I think we miss that. The corporate world is just missing this so much. And I see, Tony, and I said this to you today, I see you as one of the global spiritual leaders for me. And I'm so honored to share his love with you. But before we speak to Tony, let's catch up from last week. And last week we had Bogdan Alexi. Now, Bogdan, believe it or not. So do you remember last week we were going, Bogdan, you believe it. Funny guy and digital content entrepreneur. You couldn't get more on trend subject to talk about at the moment, about creating content and how to get that in video form and how then to put that on a platform which is going to grab the attention so that your voice is putting with a camera as well. Super, super important. And the insight of YouTube that he gave us was fascinating. Some of the figures he gave me, I had no idea about. And that's what I love to be able to bring that to you. So if you missed the live show last week, or you missed the listen again on Channel Radio's website, then you can listen to Bogdan Alexi on either my podcast, which is on SoundCloud, or iTunes, which is Bardner Bike The Conversation, or you can go onto my website, which is bardnerbike.co.uk. So remember, wherever you are, there I am. So how are you, my darling? What have you been up to? I gave you a little snippet last week of what I've been up to, but I want to go a little bit deeper into this because I have the funniest stories to tell you. And I try not to be funny, but it just happens to me, Tony. It just happens, Tolda. It just happens. These things happen. So does this happen to you? Do you think to yourself, is it just me? Do you remember a couple of months ago, we used to do a little snippet on the show called Is It Just Me? And we did these weird things. So last week, I gave you a little bit. I went to an audition for a speaking gig. I so want this audition. It's crazy. I crafted this beautiful presentation, the opportunity to stand on this stage. Can you see where this is going to go? Here it comes. But the questions they asked, I know, Tony, the questions they asked did not match my intention of the talk. And then something happened. So, and this always super, I'm super interested in this, what happens? And I couldn't help myself. So there was a room of eight people filled, and it was a small room. So I'm going to paint the picture for you. It was a small room, sunshine, no windows open. I go really rosy-cheeked. So I'm getting a little bit hot under the collar. I've got a pretty jumper on. My cheeks are going super rosy red. I'm glowing, as my nan used to say, and she was the most amazing woman I know. So get the picture. I'm hot. I'm red cheeks. I'm sweaty. I'm wanting this amazing opportunity. I'm understanding the gap, and I'm understanding the words. And then I become Billy Connolly, the best comedian ever. And I found that I said this as I was leaving. They said to me, oh, it's in this theatre. I went, how exciting. Can I sing and dance? And I'm doing all the funny stuff. And they all looked at me and went, no. And then there was this silence, Tony. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it was a unanimous silence. And you know, the room just filled with this. And I'm leaving laughing. I thought, oh, well, I'm always myself. So this is a beautiful saying. When I open my mouth, sometimes some fool speaks. Does this ever happen to you? And I want you to think of this. Do you ever fill a void with humour and then the vacuum of despair comes in? So let Tony and myself know. Go to my Facebook, The Conversation, or go to Twitter, burdenabike_, and let us know of your madness moments where you have filled the vacuumous gaps with humour. But without further ado, it is my absolute honour to share with you today, Tony Salimi. Welcome.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for having me on your amazing show today.
Oh, I am so excited to have you and Toda. Toda's not going to speak, but we've got Toda with us as well.
Toda here with us.
Exactly. So, Tony, introduce yourself. Tell us all about you. Who are you?
Well, I'm known as a human behavioral expert. His clients call him a see-through coach or Dr. Love. And I specialize in helping 7 to 9 figure business owners to really address their mental, their emotional, their cognition, their business, their finances, their relationship, and self-love and self-worthiness. Address the problems that really stop them from being in their greatness.
Wow. How do you do that?
For the last 25 years, I've gone through massive adversity and a lot of life problems, you know, way forced me to actually go on a journey to actually learn about myself and learn about what is it I'm here to do, but also to heal the many emotional problems and many financial problems and many, I would say, mental problems that I used to have because of the many difficulties that I had to endure throughout my life. And on that journey, I learned the most amazing tools of what is it to really live your true potential. And why is it some people in the world, they have it all? And why do we have this 1% and then we have the 99% of that? And you have the 1% living most amazing life. And then you have 99% struggling every single day to create an amazing life. And yet, you know, we all say to ourselves we are born equal. And we all know deep inside of ourselves that we are more than just the skin that we observe in other people. We are more than the mind that we actually think that we are. And there's this tremendous intelligence in every human being. So I've been always curious from a very young age about what is it that makes us disempowered and what is it that makes us really be powerful beyond belief. You know, when you take, let's say, somebody like Richard Branson, Steve Jobs, and let's say, Bill Gates, and let's say Oprah, and all these amazing people who are global influencers. And then you're somebody, a little boy coming from a tiny, tiny little town in Macedonia that nobody has ever heard of. And you say, what is it that one person can really create all of that? But also, when we look at the global problems that we experience, when we look at the segregation, when we look at the high divorce rate, when we look at the tremendous mental health problems we have globally, when we look at the racial problems, when we look at war, I really wanted to understand what makes us as human beings to really destroy one another and what really makes us connect in our hearts. So on this journey, I actually discovered a unique tool that I wanted to bring into this world and help billion people advance the way that they think, but also elevate their minds and awaken their hearts to their infinite wisdom of love.
Did you see me take a big deep breath in of you then? And I'm like, oh, I'm just breathing you in. I hope that you did that as well at that one moment. So that's a massive, I love that dream. It's huge. I mean, it's the biggest I've ever heard. What made you start at Business Owners?
That's a very good question, Sarah. It's in 2009, I was forcibly made redundant. And having built my life from living homeless on the streets of London to actually becoming a corporate leader and a CIO, and suddenly 19 years down the line, the safety carpet was taken away from me. I almost faced again going back on the streets, not being able to pay my bills, not being able to pay my mortgage, not being able to pay my credit cards. And during that period of time, I actually invested a lot of time, energy, and money into my personal and spiritual development and my healing journey. And it made me really think the millions of people in the world going through the same thing, where basically you become like a disposable product to the corporate world. And I wanted to really create something to bring people into the awareness how they can really take ownership of their own life. And you don't actually need the corporate world. If you're working in the corporate world, great, fantastic. But then you have so many different qualities about yourself, your uniqueness. And if you come from a space of service about who you are and the skills that you have, you will create your own customers. So therefore, I set up my first business called The Velvet Journey to inspire gay and bisexual and straight men to actually go on their spiritual, personal development and business journey. So that I started running a lot of workshops, and I had people from all over Europe. But what happened in there, I had a lot of women coming as well. So on this journey, I learned quite a lot about who I am, but also what can I do for the world. And suddenly, that little mission was about men started being about growing and growing and growing. And now that mission came into really touching the lives of 1 billion people. And I believe every human being, if you really focus and if you really work extremely hard and invest in yourself so you can really bring this uniqueness and wisdom about you into a very specialized, let's say, book or a program or whatever you may be offering to the world, you can actually change the lives. You can bring a smile in somebody's life. You can bring a hope. You know, you can instill trust. You can instill the confidence. You can literally educate them in a way that it was never possible for them. And you can be a very clean mirror for that person, for that specific service you may be offering.
Yeah. So somebody comes to you. They're a business owner. Yeah. Have you got a certain criteria that you accept? And I know that you have, and I love this. Yeah. But what's the criteria that you would say, yes, I'll work with you?
There are a few criteria that I use in my business. The first one is basically I have a consultation process. And my consultation process, it's basically, first of all, it removes all the people who are freeloaders, who are not really serious about their lives. So therefore, there's a specific price they need to pay to have a consultation with me. In those 2 hours, I literally look at what is it they want to create in their lives, and that investment that they're putting into a coaching to work with me, it's about really investment in themselves and how we can take that investment and maximize it and generate almost like 1,000 times value of what they actually invested in themselves. So the criteria is basically they have to go through consultation, and also it's as an elite coach, I have a specific price range that I work with.
Yeah.
So my basic price on my coaching programs is start at 23K. They go all the way to 100K. So clearly this is for entrepreneurs, for coaches, for leaders, for healers, business owners who already have an established business, or somebody who might already have the savings, they want to invest in that and create a business, which becomes very 6, 7, 8-figure, 9-figure business.
Yeah. I love, we spoke about this in the week, you beautifully gave me an invitation, and we spoke about it when I went up to the House of Parliament, and we had just the greatest of fun, didn't we? We did, Tola, didn't we?
We did.
and you actually said you only work with people, and I love this, and I really think we need to hear this as well. Regardless of the pain that might create within you or the resistance that might draw up from the depths, you only work with people who are serious.
Correct. Because if you're not serious about your life, how can you be serious about somebody else's life? So how can you go out there and help somebody if you haven't really taken that support and helping yourself? And this is what made me realize when I met my mentor and coach, Dr. John DeMartini. So when I met him in one of the talks and that I wanted to have a consultation with him, when I realized how much he was charging, I said to myself, oh my God, you know, it challenged me. It challenged me to my core, saying how on earth somebody could pay that. And for most people, that kind of money is actually, you know, it's your entire salary to spend in 1 hour. But on the other hand, my curiosity also said, oh my God, I want to learn what he knows. And he's a man who's actually researched and spent his entire life learning and reading and learning so many different, methods and tools around the world that basically I get a summary from him. Instead of me reading like 30,000 books, although I've read thousands and thousands of books, I've got a mentor and coach who actually helped me in that. So when I looked at him, he actually takes his own life serious. And for me, if you don't take your life seriously, there's no way you can actually support a community that you want to try to build. So for me, the work, the business starts in you. So you are the business. And majority of the people, they don't buy my business, they buy me. Because they know the investment I've done in myself. They know the journey I've gone through. And they know that I can safely guide them to the outcomes and the desired lifestyle they want to create in their lives. But also they know my credibility behind that. And credibility is extremely important. I see many people, they want to help. But when I go and dissect what they're doing, they don't have that kind of credibility to build the business they want. That said, it's not that you can't create it, but you must invest in yourself to create that first. Like, for instance, we both KPIs.
Yeah.
So when I was ready to really take my business globally, I went to the KPI and I looked at Daniel and Andrew Priestley, Darshana and all these people. And I said, oh my God, this is what I need in my business. And this is where my first book, I sit down for almost 6 months and I wrote A Path to Wisdom. And I created a unique methodology, which is TJA's evolutionary method, The Alarm. And when I created that, I spent almost 6 weeks in silence meditating 8 hours a day. And I wanted to bring my scientific background with my psychology background, with my technology background and my spiritual background under one umbrella. Because I believe when we actually integrate science with spirituality, we can truly unleash human potential.
And also, Tony, you're still working on yourself. You still invest in you. Because I know you're going to see Jack Canfield, aren't you, in June?
Absolutely, yeah.
And you even told me about that. So I think people think they reach a point and that's it. They don't need to keep going. And actually, it's every day, that investment every day. What do you do on a daily basis? Because this is really the love that I do. What do you do on a daily basis to continue the healing process for you?
Yeah. On a daily basis, I have my mantras. You know, I start my day with reciting my mantras and doing quick meditation for me to bring my energy and my vibration and be grateful on a daily basis. You know, it's we tend to forget that we have the greatest gift already. And this is the gift of life. You know, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what stages in your life you are, the truth is the moment you wake up, your eyes, be grateful for having another opportunity to live.
Breath. Just to take that
and
breath.
Take that breath. Yeah. And talking about breath, I would like to mention Dr. Voice, Anthony Waite, who basically taught me many techniques when it comes to speaking, when it comes to actually singing as well, and helped me in my first book, Path to Wisdom. We co-created the music, and I wrote the song, A Call for Love. And Dr. Voice is all about the breath and how breath, it's really helped us, first of all, speak correctly, but also sing in a beautiful way. And I mean, he taught so many amazing singers, including Sam Smith. So he really created some stars out there. And this man has tremendous intelligence. But what I also notice about him, that majority of the people like Dr. Voice, they don't have the business knowledge behind that. And I see a lot of my clients, especially women, who have most amazing wisdom, They like the business skills to take their idea into a business that is viable, that brings money and actually helps them grow continually. But also I read on a daily basis. So it's not just the meditation. And every day I see clients. For me, every day that I'm working with the clients, I'm growing with my clients. New idea comes out of it. And at daily, I actually write quotes of wisdom that just by speaking and helping a client, I get inspired. Yeah. So for the last 5 days, I spent with Paul McMonagall, an oil engineer who's been suffering with OCD for 23 years. He's been living with that pain, with medication, with alcohol, with drugs to try to deal with the loneliness, try to deal with the pain inside of him. But over 5 days, I'm seeing this man transforming his life. And that on its own, it's a learning.
Well, I got to meet him. And he even said to me, he said, Bert, I wouldn't be able to look you in the eye. I wouldn't be able to come to you. And he was touching my hand Correct. And really coming into myself, which I love. You know me, I love a good hug, don't I? But lots of people find that very difficult to give themselves to you. So amazing. Give us the first song. We've come to that point. I say this every time. It's the first song, so it's you two. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Why did you choose that? Well, you gave me a list. What made you love this song?
It reminds me when I was in the army in former Yugoslavia when the civil war started. And it really kept me alive when you had snipers, when you had everybody shooting, and you have no idea whether you can have another moment in your life, whether you can have another breath. You're living by the second. So I used to listen in my old Walkman, the tape Walkman, with a gun in a war zone, and even not caring anymore whether I'm going to have another moment, because in those moments, when you see so many people being murdered and killed, when you see chaos, that song about I still haven't found what I'm looking for, it's basically was reminding me that my life must go on. Because as a child, I had a dream to create a manual for humanity. I had a dream to help humanity heal. I had a dream to help people who are dying prolong their lives. I had a dream to help women globally to not suffer the pain and the abuse that I've seen my mother and my sister suffering in our own culture in Macedonia. So I had a dream to really help so many people. And when you think about it, about the song, you too, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. We are beings that constantly we are growing and we are learning. So every time we find something, our inner innate desire will try to fulfill another void we're experiencing. And this is like a journey, which is a continuous learning in ourselves. That's why I believe in continuous learning, and that's why I believe in investing, first of all, in myself, and then in every client. Through my investment in myself, I'm actually bringing tremendous value in their lives and continuously helping them grow to the next level.
You too. Enjoy.
I heal good. RIFT Research and Development. Tax rewards for innovative small businesses. RIFTResearch.com. Channel Radio. Channel Radio. Channel Radio. Channel Radio. Great music and talk. Plain sailing across the airwaves.
So you have joined us back after that amazing, amazing tune by U2. And it is, and we are back with Tony Salimi. And this is what I love about what we do. So here's the thing. We've got Facebook Live going. So just as you think we're doing live radio, I'm here producing the show. We've got Facebook Live going as well. We're talking to Tony's Facebook Live audience. It's just amazing. Technology this day is amazing. And Tony, I've got this image now of you with your gun and your Walkman. Wow, thank you for giving me that, because you can take us and show us. This is the part where I really want to go into where it all started for you. So what brought you here? Why did you leave Macedonia? And really, what made you become the person that you are today?
What brought me into UK was the atrocities of the civil war in former Yugoslavia in 1990s. And I was in the army over more than 14 months, almost like between 14 and 16 months. It's if you take some of the parts, what happened in those last 2 months. And on a daily basis, the country that I grew up was being destroyed. And on a daily basis, thousands of people were being murdered. And fortunately for me, with luck or with the help of some amazing people, I ended up boarding a plane to London. And I ended up on the streets of London alone. I could not speak English. I had no friends. I had about, at the time, 200 Deutschmarks and a rucksack that my mother put some food, a couple of t-shirts, and just a jacket. So I was living homeless on the streets of London for almost 5 months, 5.5 months. And I was crying by River Thames, and I was sleeping under the bridges of River Thames, wherever I could find a safety. And I was reflecting and thinking about what I left behind, and why am I here? Why am I not dead? And it was very painful to know that potentially I may never see anybody of my family and the people I knew and the friends in the country I once knew, because the war started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And having been in the army, having been seen what was truly happening, it was very difficult to understand why this is happening. So those months when I was living on the streets on a daily basis, I felt that I cried the River Thames. And then every time I would look into the water, I was thinking about the millions of people globally that are crying because they are going through some form of pain. They are going through some form of separation. They're going through some form of migration. And every time I see people such as the Syrian refugee crisis, I remember myself. I remember what I had to go through. But also I remember every single world war that we had and what people had to go through. And I would think that today, globally, people would think twice before they put a finger on migrants, because we are all migrants. You know, we all come from somewhere. And if we were to do that latest DNA test, it will really humble us that none of us are pure white or pure black or pure Asians or pure Albanians, pure Macedonians or English. We are all integrated. We come from the same intelligence, and we all share. Everything inside of us is the same.
Your family, obviously leaving a country you love, leaving a family you love. Tell us about your family setup, mum, dad, sisters. Tell us about that. How did that form you to then bring you here now?
Yeah. I mean, I'm fortunate because I'm one of six. I'm the youngest of six. I have four elder sisters, then I have my brother and myself. My mom and dad, they are very, I would say, middle-class family. We had restaurants and we had a farm. So I grew up with lots of love. And I grew up with mom and dad who gave everything for us. And they worked extremely hard. And because of the location of our restaurants, I ended up growing up with my sisters and my grandfather. And to see mom and dad was only during our summer holidays and school holidays, because they were in Bosnia and I was in Macedonia. So the only time we would really spend quality time is during those times. And I grew up in a family where everybody worked, no matter what age. So I started, for instance, you know, selling milk and farm produce in our local community from the age of six. You know, and when I came to England, when I started really becoming self-aware and thinking about how this country is set up, where, for instance, you have like, you know, people coming up saying there's a child labor in foreign countries. Although I can see that from this space, but when you're growing up in a different culture where actually working in your family, it's normal. I don't really see that as a child labor because I learned so many skills that I can go anywhere in the world and I can work. I can leave my job today, I can go back in a farm and I can be a farmer and run efficiently a big farm. So I'm not afraid to go anywhere in the world because of the skills, because of the values that my mom and dad embedded me, my grandparents. And I grew up with a lot of spiritual teachers of us in our family. My parents belonged into a spiritual sect and that was part of our upbringing. But also I grew up in a communist country where there's a lot of controversial thinking and a lot of imposed thinking that basically as a child you don't know. But deep down inside of you, you do know. You do know when something does not feel right. But I also observe in our culture how women were treated very badly. Today it's Women's International Day and I think I must honor that. And all of us in the world, we must honor the importance of having that equality, the importance of actually women feeling loved and treated equally in the society. I did not see that with my mom. I did not see that with my sisters and anyone around me. And deep inside of me, I knew it was wrong. And I was called to do something bigger than that. So when I was a child, I used to have these conversations with God. And I used to look around and say, what can I do to help them? And I was always different from everyone around me. And each one of us, at some point in our life, we can sense that difference. We might not be able to articulate it correctly what the difference is to us, but at some point it will reveal to you, whether it's through a situation, through hardship, through all of that. And when I see my mom, she gave up selflessly everything to raise us up. And so did my dad in his own way. And when I look at my sisters, they did the same. And all of us were embedded with those values from a very, very young age. So it is those values that helped me tremendously when I was going through most difficult parts in my life. But also I met so many people on this path that I'm on who never had that kind of love and that kind of nurturing. So they don't have a point of reference from which they can actually grow.
So leaving this family, leaving the country you love, you've arrived here, you've literally got yourself and a backpack. Where to then? What was the next stage for you to go, right, this is my pathway now?
Yeah, I think my path started being shown to me in every day of my life since I've been in this country, and I've been in this country for 27 years. The first stage was to get myself off the streets and get a job. Without really knowing anybody, without really knowing the setup of this country, without really knowing there is any form of support for, you know, a teenage refugee in this country, you are lost. And I was in that lost space. But fortunately for me, I met a lady from Macedonia who just spoke to me in Trocadero, outside Trocadero. She offered me 2 days to stay with her flat in Els Court. Her name is Anissa. She lives in this country. She's married. She has her own children. And she pointed me out to the right agencies where I could get a job. And on the second day, I got a job. And I got a living-in job where I was working 18 hours a day for a tiny space as big as this table in here. And I was fed. And I was so, so happy. Although I used to be paid below minimum rate. But I had a roof over my head. I had warmth and I had a shower. You know, the basic things that we take for granted. So that's where it started. And then I started working almost every single day for the next 10 years to try to save some money. First of all, to help my family back in the war zone, but then to pay for the bills and to pay for my education. And I had paid all of my education. I've privately funded because it took almost 9 years before the Home Office actually made the decision to give me the status leave to remain. And during that period, I didn't want to wait until I get the status for me to get free education to do that. So I spent every single moment working 3 to 4 to 5 jobs a week to actually get that money and then invest in myself. And the first thing I did is get myself into an English course. So I started learning English very fast, very rapidly. That I went to City of Westminster College where I did my HNC and I flew with amazing colors in there, and I had a word from the Westminster Lord, the mayor. And I was best in maths and physics, and my tutors encouraged me to apply some of the top universities to study engineering and technology, UCL, Imperial College, Oxford, and Cambridge. I was accepted in three of them, and I chose UCL because it was close to all the different jobs I was doing. But truly, my heart wanted to be in Oxford, because I did not believe a homeless man like me could go to a university like that. Wow. So my tutors really instilled that belief in me that if anybody can make it, I can make it.
What makes you want to serve at the level that you're serving?
When you have gone through tremendous life adversity, when you have helped yourself at a very deep and profound ways, and you know inside of you there's a gift, there's a diamond that has been polished very beautifully, you can actually bring that diamond out and then inspire others to unravel that diamond which is buried deep inside of them and make them shine like a diamond. So to serve at a bigger level also comes with greatest challenges. And I, in my personal journey, I know that you have to go through those challenges for you to be able to raise yourself up at, I would say, a global level and being able to serve globally. So my mission is to reach 1 billion people and help and change their life and inspire the lives of 1 billion people. But it's not just because I want to, because I have gone through the journey. So I have gone through bullying, I have gone through sexual abuse, I've gone through emotional abuse, physical abuse, I've gone through war, I've gone through living homeless on the streets of London, I've gone through education, I've gone through basically building up a very strong career and learning so many amazing skills in the corporate world and serving hundreds of thousands of people. And I've gone through my entrepreneurial journey and set up a business from zero to building a seven-figure business and with all the partners that I'm working to actually build an eight- and nine-figure business. So I know every human being has that potential. And my belief is we are all intelligent beings. And that intelligence that we look at the 1%, I believe, runs in every human being. And my job is to help them activate that in themselves and bring that awareness in themselves. And this is what the TGS Evolutionary Method is, which I talk about in my first book, A Path to Wisdom, is all about, for helping people go in that inner journey and activate everything about them so they become beacons of light for other people who may be in the dark, to be able to find their way back home, back to their hearts.
And this is what I see, Tony. I know that you love me. And I feel that. And Toto, you're the same, aren't you? We know that he loves us. And it's true. And I think that's what comes through more than anything is that love that you absolutely have for humanity.
Yeah.
And it's, I have this waking desire. It's like, I can't stop it now. And that's where you serve, isn't it? That level is beyond anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's your heart. When your heart opens up, in my song, A Call for Love, there's a line in there, when you shine, when your heart shines, it shines for all. So it does not choose to serve one person or two people or three people. It simply shines.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I mentioned yesterday in my talk at the British International Forum about LGBT rights in the workplace, that my point of view is when in ourselves we ignite and switch on the light, everything around us illuminates. We don't need to control it. We don't need to be telling. And unfortunately, we've been taught to constantly tell people. And I see this quite a lot in the spiritual and personal development industry, where people are very telling because they are going through those processes in themselves and they feel like they know it and they want to tell it. So in a conscious evolution, when you become a great teacher in yourself, you know in yourself that it does not feel right somebody to tell you something. It does not feel right when you tell yourself something, but your heart's intelligence and wisdom, when it's open, does not tell. It simply serves and it simply shines.
Yeah. Okay. I'm toying here. Honestly, I'm listening to you and I love this. And I'm thinking, shall I play the tune? Should we just keep chatting? But we're gonna break it up a little bit so we can go, okay, what's Tony's just said? So, second tune. I can't wait for this, Tony.
Go for it.
Are you ready? So this is Foreigner. I'm just going to go straight into it. I want to know what love is.
Yay!
I gotta take a little time, a little time to think things over. I better read between the lines in case I need it when I'm older.
You can trust for your Kent business. Get a quote today at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Channel Radio. It's your 24-hour station.
So here we are again. Last part. We're on our way home now for this. Okay, you have joined us back with Tony Salimi. Oh my goodness. I cannot wait for this part. Are you ready, Tony?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I am. I love this bit. It's the seven what's, one who.
Wow.
So these are seven questions beginning with what that come from your intuitive self that you just think, wow, let's go deep. And really, it's for people to hear you, hear the question, for you to answer it, and actually then to reflect it back into myself. So what do I believe? I don't think we ask ourselves that question enough of what do I believe? I hear what you're saying, but what do I truly believe? So here we go. What has had to end for you to continue onwards?
Love.
What does joy and happiness look like to you?
Inner peace.
My goodness, you're literally giving me one answers, aren't you? Boom. Here we go. I love this one. Are you ready?
Ready.
What is a teeth out moment?
Graduating.
Was it?
Yep.
Wow. Have you had a teeth out moment, Hoda? Yeah, you're on the black one. Yeah.
When I took my specialization, actually.
Really?
That was an amazing moment.
Yeah. Your teeth just come out, don't they? You just think, wow, this is amazing.
It was amazing experience.
Yeah.
But what was special for me on that one is because for the first time I saw my father, who after the civil war in former Yugoslavia stopped, I flew my father to be with me, and just seeing his tears of joy that I've achieved something during the most tremendous moments where both my mom and dad could not help me was that teeth moment that, you know, it's I will never forget.
Yeah. What do you love but most people hate?
The unlovable.
What does that mean? Go deeper with us.
A lot of people, because of the way we've been polarized, they have parts of themselves that they really disown. So, for instance, a lot of people hate ego. I love my ego. And a lot of people hate the, let's say, self-critical voice. I love my self-critical voice. A lot of people hate their body. You know, I love my body. You know?
I love my body.
So, you know, there are so many things I've been taught to disown. And there are so many things about ourselves, inside of ourselves, that the first time when people tell me about those things, and let's say, for instance, illness, and a lot of people, for instance, cancer. I've supported so many people through healing journey through cancer. The first initial consultation with them is like how they have this hatred towards illness. And illness simply, it's a communication in our body, and illness is not somewhere outside of ourselves. It's inside of our body. So anything about us, it's lovable. No matter whether you're big man or a big woman, or a small man or a small woman, no matter the way you look, the way your hair is, the way your eyes are, no matter what it is about yourself that you don't like, unless you learn to love the unlovable in you, you cannot love the unlovable in others.
What would you never do today that you have done in the past?
Go to war. And, you know, I was forced to join the former Yugoslav army, and it's something that, it destroys everything that we built. And when you think about, as a teenager, you don't have this capacity to think for yourself, and you don't have the capacity to understand what's really happening around you. So what I used to do back then, I would never do today. And the kind of decisions I made back then, I would not do today.
What continues to be the greatest challenge in your life?
Myself. It's unraveling, uncovering the mystery that's embedded in ourselves, and how I am to fit in this big world, and how I am to really deliver this mission to actually help 1 billion people and attract the right people, attract the right partners and joint ventures that are heart-driven.
What do you believe to be true that others believe the opposite?
That's a good question. What do I believe to be true that other feels its opposite? Let's say Trump. That's
okay.
A good one.
That's
and a lot of people see Trump as a very challenging person, and quite rightly so, in our mind thinking. But for me, it's Trump represents simply disowned parts of ourselves, and it's a great opportunity for us to self-reflect and grow from that. So therefore, we in ourselves change the things that we judging others.
Who do you steal from? So I'll give you an example. Picasso says that great people copy, mm-hmm. that good people copy, great people steal. Mm-hmm. Who has made an impact on your life, created change for you? So who are the people you surround yourself with?
The three teachers that I really respect, it's Martin Brochman, who literally helped me with a body mirror system of healing to love myself and to go on a journey to self-love and self-worthiness. And then Dr. John DeMartini, who's been a massive, tremendous shift in myself. And every human being, frankly, who's come into my life, both for good and for bad, have been a massive mirror and a learning curve for me to reflect in myself and all the traits of the greats.
Yeah. So here's something that I'm always curious about, and I was saying this to you, is about the new terms that we use in business and in our lives, and it's like, well, what does that mean? So in your own words, Tony, I want you to define these terms. What does this look like to you? Are you ready? So what is a guru to you?
Well, I'm going to tell it in the new words. First of all, I don't believe in gurus, and I used to believe in gurus. When I was to be infatuated. So majority of people see gurus as something to infatuate to. But also a lot of people connect spiritual people with gurus. And therefore they have this idea, this is my guru. And I see those people a lot on Facebook where they share, this is my guru. For me, it's straight away you actually giving your power to somebody else. For me, I see people as teachers rather than sort of as gurus. Gurus is an extremely arrogant way of describing something that you disown and you give it to somebody else and own it. Whilst I respect every teacher, every human being on the planet, but for me, guru is something that really comes from my own ego, that basically you're above everybody else. And my principle with every human being is we all equal.
Influencer. What does an influencer look like to you?
For me, influencer is somebody who's really embodied in themselves the traits that I perceive I don't have, and they share it with their heart energy, not with their mind or their emotional energy, because mental body and emotional body is totally different to the wisdom that radiates from your heart. So for me, the influencer has that wisdom inside of themselves. They're extremely self-aware, a thought leader who basically, with their heart, influences.
So we're coming up to that time where we're just getting, time just takes away from us. I want you to come on again. I'm going to put you to, you've got to come back because I want to go deeper into lots of different things.
Sure.
But before we finish, how do we get a hold of you? Where do we connect with you? What have you got coming up in the world?
People can connect with me on my Facebook, on my public profile, because my personal profile has reached 5,000 people.
How wonderful.
Yes, and I have different Facebook profiles. One is about my public Facebook profile. One is about healing, my healing work, which is very different to my coaching and mentoring and speaking world. And also the Crystal Light Bed Therapy. But if they go on tonyselimi.com, Tony with a Y, or Heal Oneself, they can actually find more information about my coaching, my seminars, my workshops, my one-to-one consultation, both for mentoring, business coaching, the programs that I run. And recently, I just finished a very unique 5-day vital planning for elevated living program.
Yes.
And this is a very unique program because I put together most unique wisdom to help people go in all 8 key areas of their life to really transform, grow, and understand the operating system they have in themselves, their values, their beliefs, their thoughts, and I would say all the injected information they have in the body that is preventing them from truly being in their greatness and really raising themselves on a thought leader and a global level.
So here's the final question, because we're just running out of time. So I want to really, really get people to breathe this in. So share with us one piece of wisdom that you would love to be known for.
One piece of wisdom I would love to be known for. Mm. The man who activated the heart's intelligence in 1 billion people.
Oh, Tony, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for standing tall in the arena. Thank you for sharing your truth with us today. Thank you for being so beautiful. And I adore and love you. So thank you so much. And Toda, thank you for coming in. And we're going to continue. And I'm going to get you back in.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
So next week we have Jackie Jarvis. Jackie Jarvis is an author, speaker, business coach. My goodness. She's going to be talking about how she decided to stop doing her business and how to literally just decided to walk the Camino route to Santiago, which lots of pilgrims and saints have walked for the last hundreds of years. And her new book, Pursuit of Slow, is out next month. So I'm hoping she'll bring me in a copy just to say that. That's all I'm going to say. So it has been my absolute honour to bring to you the most extraordinary people every week. Have a truly amazing, amazing week. It is my honour to make an impact in the universe. Keep reaching every day and go shopping.